Welcome back, everybody. Of course, we always like to have you guys check us out, not just on the air, but on the interweb. Don, where do you find us elsewhere?
TheValleyOutdoors.com. That's perfect. Plural. Outdoors.
Valley Outdoors. And on Facebook, like us, please. You can get them at both places. Lots of cool stuff going on there. So thanks for checking those things out. But before we took a break, I mentioned we were going to just kind of give an idea of what kind of fishery Lake Erie really is. As I said, Thomas Sex leading it at 44 pounds, 10 ounces. Top 10, Tom Wynn. He was last year's champion, the tour champion. He's at 36.9. So he's in striking distance. Top 20, 33.5. That's 33 pounds, 5 ounces, 5 fish.
5 fish, yeah. Yep.
Again, an amazing, amazing fishery. We'll hit some of these. Danny Plouts fished with Danny, or against Danny, 25th place. Let's see. Number of John Hoyer. He's been excellent for many years. 37th. He's down to 30. That's tough to make up. You get to the 30-pound mark with the 44-pound guys. Corey Sprengel, 30 pounds. Same thing, down at 40th place or in that area. Dusty Mankey, good buddy of mine, 28 pounds. And you start going down the list. Some top guys, Corey Heiser, 26 pounds. Dwayne Helm, he was an amazing angler. I watched him struggle. It was a tough deal to see that. 25 pounds. Crazy. Brian Bjorkman, 24.
Well, I've come to learn fishing can get anybody anytime.
Oh, it's tough. Chase Parsons, his dad, I know Tommy Kimos, those guys. They're down 95th and 96th place. Yeah, tough. Tough bite.
Yep.
I shouldn't say tough bite. If you happen to be on that right pot of fish, it'll be interesting to see how. I know a lot of guys were trying to live scope, and in rough water like that, it gets really difficult.
Well, the fish keep diving 8 foot down, and then they're back up to the top, and then they're back down.
Trying to pitch that jig accurately in that kind of wave condition makes it really difficult trying to finesse those fish to bite. Oh, yeah. So, kind of strange. Story that I hit off at the top of the show, we were talking about the fraud in the state. Obviously, everybody's aware of it. No matter what state you're in, you're aware of the Minnesota fraud that's happened. And now they're concerned about AI in fraudulent DNR licensing. A bill authored by one of the DFL St. Paul people, Dave Pinto, and its Senate companion bill out of Lakeland. They would strengthen enforcement tools and penalties for somebody falsifying these documents. Lieutenant Colonel Gorecki, Assistant DNR Director of Enforcement, said the current law limits how officers can respond directly to fraudulent documents. While there's ways we can address situations at the time, they're not specific to creating, possessing, or trying to use a fraudulent license or registration. When they last updated the statutes, the technology was less readily available. You know, it's taken on a whole new life in the last probably 2 years. And they said now they can create realistic-looking fake licenses, and they've got to really be looking at those to see what is and is not a fraudulent license. Practices are involving dealerships, specifically for recreational vehicles and watercraft. Some cases, dealers issue a 21-day temporary registration for vehicles, watercraft, and recreational vehicles. The customer is used without completing the full registration. The customer later returns the vehicle, and the dealer throws away the temporary permit. Essentially, the customer will borrow the vehicle and return them with no intention of buying it.
Dealer beware.
Another case is vehicles intentionally mislabeled. For example, an off-road vehicle may be registered as a Class 2 ATV, allowing riders to access trails where they would otherwise be restricted. So one of the things, if you're not involved in the ATV side, you'll find that there's ATVs that are beyond the width of a standard trail that should be on it, but they'll give them a permit that says it's okay to be on it. And unless you're actually measuring, you need to measure that vehicle, you're illegal. You cannot run these very wide vehicles. They're made for the dunes and that thing out, western states.
Southwest,
yeah. Or any open territory except in these trails. and crazy what they're doing. So the bill outlines escalating penalties for individuals convicted of using those licenses or permits. First conviction would result in 1 year suspension for that license. Second would expand it to a 1 year suspension across all licenses and permits. Third conviction, you're pretty much enhanced penalty. You're not allowed to obtain a license permit from the DNR to take wild animals for up to 5 years, and dealers will face stricter penalties. They're working to educate dealers as to what the impact and who would be doing these kinds of things and what those fraudulent scenarios are, so they understand and they don't get stuck in a situation where there's fraud going on. They say the effect goes beyond enforcement, given the license and registration fees. They fund conservation and natural resources, so you're taking away from that as well. Some ways it's similar to poaching. It's exactly right, which sure. It is.
Yep.
He said he's optimistic the bill will pass, noting bipartisan support in both chambers. It would take effect July 1 or August 1. So what do you think about them apples?
Well, I mean, if you bought it with one intention and now you're restricted to where you can use it, I'm sure there's going to be some unhappy customers out there. But that's being informed.
Well, I
think it's the obligation of the dealer to make sure they understand.
Well, and the dealer, and the dealers that can be the victim of that too.
Sure.
And you know, being
especially if they bring it back,
not good.
Yeah.
You know, out of Minnesota, I don't think we haven't talked about this yet, but the Minnesota Bear Hunt Lottery applications are now open through May 1st. They have until Friday, May 1st, to apply for bear hunting licenses. Submit applications online. There are 5,330 licenses available across 15 bear permit areas. So for the 26th season, which opens September 1 and closes Sunday, October 18th. And, of course, it changes. The quotas can change based on the populations of the deer. It was a moderate increase. They did have a decent wintering, which is good. We like to hear that. And complete instructions for applying for the bear license, you can find those through thevalleyoutdoors.com. You can go on our map, plug it in, check it out, and get you right to the bear application. So
same thing for turkey hunting.
That's coming up.
Yeah. Starting real soon.
It is, and that's one of those what isn't going on, right, Don?
Yep. Fishing's another month.
There's
people fishing now, but the in the Minnesota anyway, the walleye season in about a month.
They're going hot and heavy down here right now. People are. Bite may not be.
Yeah.
We got a lot of fluctuating water temps. I was trying to get Chris Winchester on from Everett's Resort to talk about that. The bite is picking up, though.
I've heard that.
When you've got some warming temps, consistency, you know, it's supposed to rain today, tomorrow, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, yeah, Sunday, tomorrow is Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think Wednesday now. So who knows? And then it's supposed to be, who knows what the sparkly stuff coming down might be.
Oh, no.
So I thought I'd put it in perspective. I was going to pull this up. I don't know if, Don, if you can pull up what the take on Mille Lacs was last year. So Safe Harvest, look under Mille Lacs Safe Harvest for 2025. So just to give you perspective, I got since we had talked about a little bit about Lake Erie and the fishery, the total allowable catch decided for Lake Erie walleye and perch has just been locked in by the Great Lakes Fishery Commission. And it's called the TAC, Total Allowable Catch Quotas. It's pointed out over the years the TAC, whether it's set by numbers or weight, is not a target goal to catch, but the scientifically recommended cap on the level that can be safely harvested in a season. So, do you have a number there, Don?
Not quite. It's coming up.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the perch first, because perch is a little bit different. So the yellow perch rules codify the percentage of the yellow perch that the Ohio commercial fishery is allotted in each management unit. The yellow perch in all three management units in Ohio, that would be Ohio, Ontario, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. 1.831 million pounds. It's down 20% from 2025. It's crazy. Can you believe that? 1.81 million pounds of perch. How many of those little suckers do you have to get to get to?
About 3 million.
Oh, man, that's crazy. The Management Unit 1, which is Western Basin of Erie, is being allotted 921,000 pounds, Michigan, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, just huge numbers, which is crazy. And so what do you have for Mille Lacs, Don? Is it a number?
They're not giving me a number.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a number for this, which is going to blow your doors off.
Oh, I take that back.
Oh.
105,000.
105,000 pounds?
Yep.
Okay. And we think Mille Lacs is a pretty good lake. From estimated highs, which I'm not going to give you the number, catchable walleyes aged 2 years and over in 2023, a population of 57.6 million fish is projected to be the present at the start of the 2026 season. Lake Erie's total allowable catch, what do you think it is?
Oh, I have no clue.
10.2 million fish.
Million fish? Wonder what their average weight is, five?
I would say
four.
Yeah, I'd say three or four.
I was going to say three.
But they're, I mean, the massive amount of fish. Ohio's recreational harvest, they crept up into the neighborhood of 2 million fish, still well below what they're allowed to catch. For example, 4,111,000 walleyes were spared in 2024 to grow bigger for future harvest, meaning they didn't capitalize on all the fish that could have been caught. That is crazy.
Yeah, but look at the difference in the size of the body of water, though.
I know, but the number is just...
Yeah.
So when you talk about going to Lake Erie and going to fish, if you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. The fish, the bite goes all the way through the summer. It peaks probably that April, May, once the first full moon is, then they're starting to go back to the east, and they head out of the reef areas where it's more convenient to get to them. In fall, go back at it. You can go all the way through December sometimes. And but generally Thanksgiving is there. They have the fall brawl for the big fish kind of thing going on. But it's an amazing fishery, and it's so fun when you're run planer boards out there and basically just a floating trolling bobber, and it's lights out fun. It is amazing. But good luck to the guys out there. I hope they're safe. I'm not sure what the wind is going to be doing at this point, but we'll see.
We'll know next week.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, Don, you have how many rods and reels do you have?
Too many.
Okay. Too many? Okay.
No, I probably got 30 in my boat.
Yeah. Same here. Same concept. You know what you have to do this time of year, though, right?
Yeah, play with them.
Exactly. But important is, because the last thing you want to do is get out there and have a big fish on that could be a lifetime fish, and have it not be consideration to be in the net because it broke off, right?
Right.
So fishing line is a big thing. And, you know, this will probably be a two-part conversation. We'll carry on the next part next week. But a couple pieces of information that we'll start out with. Number one is selection, line selection. And one of the things that I find is, monofilament has been such a ongoing, forever people have used monofilament line. Then there, braid has come into play, and it's people get confused. What do I do? What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I used to be all monofilament, and I have mostly braid on most of my rods with a monofilament
leader
of some sort by 10, 20 feet, different. So that way, if you want to change some things, you can. It's easier to clip off.
Yep. I do the same. I don't use a long leader, and there's a reason that I don't. Most of the areas that we fish, we're not going to be too concerned about the clarity. I use a probably about a 24-inch liter. If I need to go stronger, I will.
Fluorocarbon?
Fluorocarbon liter, absolutely. And I go with no more than a 10-pound, 10-pound, 10-pound. I go much higher. I go probably 12 to 15 on the actual liter. And the reason I do that is because invariably when you're, it's a jigging application or whatever, you're going to nick, you're going to create a problem for that particular line where it's not going to be at a 12 or 15 for very long as far as that goes. The other thing too is casting. I don't like to go with a long lead because that knot, no matter what you do, that knot is going to come flying out in 20 feet. It's not going to give myself the flow through that I like. If I do 24 inches, I can generally, the knot's not in there. And I don't get any wind knotting it either.
Right.
The other thing is, as a whole, I'm with you, but I run braid on almost every rod I have except for my trolling rods. That all my trolling rods, they're going to be mono. And the reason is stretch. So if you have a rod you're using for trolling, don't use anything else but monofilament, in my opinion, because it's no stretch. If you get a big fish on, odds are you're trolling, you're fighting that fish. If you have a planer board on or otherwise, you're not slowing down enough to make that fish slow down and you tear a hole in the fish. And last not but not least, before we have to take it out of here, the other thing is if you're trolling it like a bouncer or whatever else, that braid is extremely important because it cuts down on that line angle. So you're able to have a much more vertical line angle with a lighter weight, and you can obviously at that point have much more sensitivity. So line selection this week. We're going to talk a little bit about what happens if you have older line next week. We'll talk about also what to do and how to get it switched up if you want to make sure you don't have to spend a ton of money to make your line and keep your line at its tip-top shape. So there's some tidbits. It's a process, but guess what? It's going to make for success in the long run. And speaking of success in the long run, we are out of here. Another show successfully completed. Don, Ava, thank you guys, and thank you guys out there for listening. We are the Valley Outdoors. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the outdoors, be safe, and have fun. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.